and Aziraphale walked into the room, holding it as a keen philatelist might hold a Mauritius blue that had just turned up on a postcard from his aunt. He'd never even seen a copy before, but he'd heard about it. Everyone in the trade, which, considering it was a highly specialised trade, meant about a dozen people, had heard of it. Its existence was a sort of vacuum around which all sorts of strange stories had been orbiting for hundreds of years. Aziraphale realised he wasn't sure if you could orbit a vacuum, and he didn't care. The nice and accurate prophecies made the Hitler diaries look like, well, a bunch of forgeries. His hands hardly shook at all as he laid it down on a bench, pulled on a pair of surgical rubber gloves, and opened it reverently. Aziraphale was an angel, but he also worshipped books. The title said, The Knife and Accurate Prophecies of Agnes Nutter. In slightly smaller type, being a certain and preface history from the present day unto the endings of this world. In slightly larger type, containing therein many diverse wonders and precepts for the wife. In a different type, more complete than ever yet before published. In smaller type, but in capitals, concerning the strange times ahead. In slightly desperate italics, and events of a wonderful nature. In larger type once more, reminiscent of Nostradamus at his best, Ursula Shipton. The prophecies were numbered, and there were more than 4,000 of them. Steady, steady, Aziraphale muttered to himself. He went into the little kitchenette and made himself some cocoa and took some deep breaths. Then he came back and read a prophecy at random. 40 minutes later, the cocoa was still untouched. The red-haired woman in the corner of the hotel bar was the most successful war correspondent in the world. She now had a passport in the name of Carmine Zugaiba, and she went where the wars were. Well, more or less. Actually, she went where the wars weren't. She'd already been where the wars were. She was not well known except where it counted. Get half a dozen war correspondents together in an airport bar, and the conversation will, like a compass orienting to the north, swing around to Murchison of the New York Times, to Van Horn of Newsweek, to Anforth of ITN News. The war correspondents, war correspondents. But when Murchison and Van Horn and Anforth run into each other in a burnt-out tin shack in Beirut, or Afghanistan, or the Sudan, after they'd admired each other's scars and had downed a few, they would exchange awed anecdotes of Red Zugaiba from the National World Weekly. That dumb rag, Murchison would say, it doesn't goddamn know what it goddamn got. Actually, the National World Weekly did know just what it had got. It had a war correspondent. It just didn't know why or what to do with one now it had her. A typical National World Weekly would tell the world how Jesus' face was seen on a Big Mac bun bought by someone from Des Moines, with an artist's impression of the bun, how Elvis Presley was recently sighted working in a burger lord in Des Moines, how listening to Elvis records cured a Des Moines housewife's cancer, how the spate of werewolves infesting the Midwest are the offspring of a noble pioneer woman raped by Bigfoot, and that Elvis was taken by space aliens in 1976 because he was too good for this world. Remarkably, one of these stories is indeed true. That was the National World Weekly. They sold 4 million copies a week, and they needed a war correspondent like they needed an exclusive interview with the General Secretary of the United Nations. The interview was done in 1983 and went as follows. Question. You're the Secretary of the United Nations, then? Answer, si. Question, ever cited Elvis? So they paid Red Zugaiba a great deal of money to go and find wars, and ignored the bulging, badly typed envelopes she sent them occasionally from round the globe to justify her, generally fairly reasonable, expenses claims. They felt justified in this because, as they saw it, she really wasn't a very good war correspondent, although she was undoubtedly the most attractive, which counted for a lot on the National World Weekly. Her war reports were always about a bunch of guys shooting at each other, with no real understanding of the wider political ramifications, and, more importantly, no human interest. Occasionally,